You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame.
So we're live.
Yes.
Jeff, how are you today? It's been a while since we've been live. I think there's been a lot going on for us both, personally. Yeah. You've
gone home? Yeah, it's going well. We just moved into our new house in Houston and getting all settled in and all of that good stuff. So still in the unpacking stage and getting all that stuff done. So,
all
you know,
stuff.
Yeah, all that fun stuff.
Actually, I'm not dreading the unpacking as much as I'm dreading the decluttering.
Yeah.
Happens, but yeah, there we go. Is my connection okay, by the way? Can you see me okay?
Yeah, it was cutting in out a little bit, but yeah, it's okay now.
Fingers crossed it's okay, because it's this room, sometimes it gets a little bit shaky. But so no, welcome, thank you very much, Jeff, for joining me live today again. I've missed you. Thank you everybody else for tuning in, whether you're watching now or you're watching the replay. If you are watching now, please do say hi so we know you're here. As always, any questions that you've got whatsoever, please do pop them in the comments and we'll try and answer them, whether it's about the topic or anything else nutrition related. We've gone for the topic of calories today and body weight because that's something that was quite popular in the poll that I did last week. So that's the discussion that we're going to have today. So we're going to focus on that. So if you've got any questions at all related to that, please do, like I said, just pop them below and we will answer. But either way, please just say hi so we know that you're here. And yes, so if you're okay, Jeff, we'll just get started and then we'll just see how it goes as always.
Yeah, sounds great.
So calories are something I think that have almost become kind of feared and demonized, I think, out there, haven't they? A lot of people will talk about, I did a post this week just about, you might have seen it, Jeff, I did a post about the benefits of adding butter to your vegetables. Mm-hmm. And I got quite a few messages from people and a bit of interaction from people saying, oh, yeah, well, doesn't it just add calories? And it's like, whoa, what? Yeah. Why is everyone afraid of calories? We need calories. So I just, it still is this, so much misinformation out there, so many people focusing on the wrong. And so hopefully today we can talk a little bit more about calories, what they mean, talk about energy balance, etc., and hopefully try and just clear up some confusion and maybe try and neutralize people's approach to this. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah.
So off, Jeff, what are calories?
Well, I think this is something that I don't know that that people don't really realize this or understand it, but I think that they have taken on this almost mystical sort of view, or people have this sort of mystical view of calories, and they're also often thought of as this bad thing. So vitamins and minerals are good, calories are bad. And all calories is it's just the unit of measure that we use to measure the energy in food and the energy that we expend in the body. So just like centimeters or inches is how we measure distance, kilograms and pounds is how we measure weight, and miles and kilometers and all that. I mean, it's just the unit of measure that we're using to measure energy. And so when we speak about calories in the context of calories in food, it's just saying how much energy is in that particular food. And when we talk about it in burning calories, that's the energy that our body is expending. And so our body can't expend energy that it doesn't have. It has to come from somewhere. So calories in food is a good thing. It's actually a really good thing. It's a really important thing. It's just like petrol or gas in your car. Your car won't run no matter how everything else, you can have all the other fluids and everything else perfect in your car, but with no gas, it's not going to run. So same is true for calories or fuel for our bodies.
Absolutely. Calories, you know, and calories that come in, like you said, they provide fuel for our body. And then in order to do the everyday activities that we need to do, in order to think, in order to, you know, rationalize things, we need calories. We burn those calories to be able to do everything that we need to do on a daily basis. And I think there is just this thing, there's this feeling that a lot of the time that people need to be scrimping on calories, that people need to be cutting back calories, that people need to be thinking everywhere that they can save a few calories without realizing fundamentally that this is probably going to have an impact later on, because your body is always going to, you know, your body will have a number of calories that it needs to function each day. Mm-hmm. And if you are not getting those calories, your body will do all sorts of things to try and make you get those calories. So if you're scrimping on them somewhere during the day, this is probably where you're going to find crashes. It's where you're going to find cravings. It's where you're going to find that you're eating beyond fullness, because your body will ramp everything up in order to get the calories that it needs. And then you end up blaming yourself, thinking it's because of your willpower, when really it's because you haven't been giving your body the calories that it needs to get through the day. And if you don't do that, then it's going to probably go, you know, our bodies are incredibly clever, and they are going to kind of draw you towards the most calorific sources of food just to get those calories that you've been depriving it of. And yeah, and I guess another thing I kind of wanted to ask as well, Jeff, is it an exact science? Are calories an exact science?
Well, I mean, the measure of calories is precise, but I think people mistakenly think that the, and we might talk about energy balance here in a minute, but when you think about the energy in the food we eat and the energy we expend, people way oversimplify it and think that, okay, well, I plugged in my numbers to a calculator and it told me I'm expending 2,350 calories a day. And so I should eat 1,350 a day if I want to lose 2 pounds a week, and I should eat, you know, whatever, 500 calories less than my, that 2,350 a day if I want to lose 1 pound a week. So all I have to do is cut my calories and stick to this exact precise number and measure and weigh all my food. And then magically I'm going to go progress down in this linear fashion. And it just doesn't work that way. So not only is are the numbers that we have available to us to tell us how much energy is in food, not only are those imprecise. So when we say it's not an exact science, the numbers we have to work with aren't precise. So it's kind of like saying, yeah, you know, I've got about $10 in my pocket. Well, do I have 7? Do I have 13? Do I have 12? So it's kind of like that. And at the same time, the energy that our body can use from those calories is also different. But then there's a knock-on effect on how much we eat and what it does to the other side of the equation. So maybe talking about energy balance some would be a good thing to talk about too, because it's not these variables are not independent, where you just change one variable and suddenly everything moves in the other. When you change one variable, the others change also. So it's kind of this up and down. You decrease this goes down. You increase this goes up, and so it's much more complicated.
It is much more complicated. And I think just before we do go on to energy balance, and I know we've both kind of danced around it already.
Yeah.
But I think as well, like you said, calories are a measure. You know, the measure is a measure. You know.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's not an exact. We don't know. Like you say, no calorie counter, no tool or anything like that can actually tell us how many calories we need, how many calories that we're burning. None of those tools out there that are available to us anyway. There are other methods, but the average person hasn't got access to those. And I think also one of the points I wanted to also point out as well is that the calories that you read on the back of a packet, you know, there is margin for error there.
Quite
a large margin for error. So, you know, if you, the calories that you're reading on, you think to yourself that you're eating a certain amount of calories, but actually, you know, you could be eating anywhere up to 30% more or 30% less than that.
Yeah.
Because the way that calories are, you know, the way that it's worked out is not exact, without going into all the details. So again, this is another reason why people can't, you know, you can't manipulate this as well as you think you can. And again, right. It comes down to this whole thing of, yes, calories do matter. I'm not going to sit here and say calories don't matter.
Yeah.
Calories do matter. Calories are important. Our bodies need them. Mm-hmm. However, when we're listening to our bodies and letting them guide us, they're the best calorie counter for us, aren't they, Jeff, I think?
Yeah, it certainly can be. Once you're in tune with things and really listening to your body, that can be a much better way for a lot of people in eating the right amount for you. Even another thing with the calories and the precision of it is depending on the macronutrient that is making up those calories you're eating, your body may use fewer calories than you think it is. And for example, protein, up to 30% of the calories in protein actually is used to break down the protein and so that your body can utilize it. And same with fiber, all those. So there's lots of different factors there that come into play that makes it really difficult to get the precision that people think. And oftentimes in calorie counting, I've seen this so many times, is it can drive this obsessive view of hitting these targets to the point where people, I will see people in other groups discussing, how can I get, I still have 2 grams of protein and 3 grams of fat and 1 carb to hit my target for the day. Anybody have any ideas for a snack? And I'm thinking, you're completely missing the whole point here. Yeah. Yeah.
The time and energy that is wasted on that as well.
Yeah,
it's unnecessary for most people, isn't it? But I know we'll go on to that a little bit. But just talking about energy balance then, shall we explain a little bit about that? Do you want to go into that, Jeff? Or
sure. Yeah. I think that's important because there's a lot that goes on in discussions about weight gain and weight loss. And it's one of the popular things to say now is that CICO, calories in, calories out, has been disproven. And it's blah, blah, blah. It's all hormones. It's all eat this food or avoid that food and whatever. But it's just basic science that the body fat accumulation happens when the balance of the equation of calories in versus calories out, when the in is higher than the out, then your body accumulates body fat. When the out is lower than the in, or higher than the in, then you tend to decrease body fat, or you decrease in other tissue too. So you can, in this calorie deficit, it doesn't just magically only fat goes away. You do lose muscle mass too in that case. And so but this balance is the way that the body functions. So when you have more than you need, it stores fat, but that's really a cool thing. So people think of that as a negative. Yeah. It's actually a really good thing. It's an amazing thing that the body does to preserve itself. And it's a good thing to have body fat on you. There's lots of reasons that it's beneficial to you. So
exactly that. And it's been exactly what you said. It's a preservation thing. It's what, it's what we've evolved to do. We've evolved to survive. reproduce. And in order to do that, we need to make sure that all of us need to have a certain amount of body fat on our bodies. When we don't have enough body fat on our bodies, that's when all of the issues can occur. That's when hormones can be disrupted. Mm-hmm. That's when, you probably find yourself thinking about food far more than you need to. Or far more than you should. And I think, all of us as well, I think it's important to point out, are supposed to have different levels of body fat. No people are the same in that respect. Yet we're always trying to get to a certain body fat percentage, although you actually measure that, Jeff, I think people, again, I've gone off on a tangent here a little bit, but again, people are often, I hear this often as well, what are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? Oh, well, I'm not trying to lose weight, but I'm just trying to get my body fat percentage to X, Y, Z. And it's like, okay, well, how are you measuring that? Are one of those machines in the gym? And I'm like, no, do you realize just how inaccurate those machines actually are? They're just the quickest route. And, the only real way that you, well, anyway, Jeff, do you want to talk about how the only way that we can actually measure someone's body fat is?
Well, yeah, you take their body and you melt it down, basically. it's not really a very comfortable process for most of us. Usually it's better if you're dead before they try and do that. But I mean, they can estimate it. But unfortunately, people get it's part of that diet culture, diet mentality that is so common, and people get this idea that they need to be at a certain percentage of body fat. Not everybody, I mean, it is a common thing. Oh, I want to be a 10% body fat. I want to be a single digit body fat. I want to be the 15% or whatever. And everybody's so different. Like you said, some people, as an example, some people, men, I'll just speak about men here, but let's say you want a six pack, right? So some men have to get to 10, 11% body fat before they start to see real ab definition, while other people can be at 14 or 15%. So we're talking about a significant difference in body fat percentage between two different people in order to see visible abs. And for some people, it's very easy to maintain visible abs year round, while for other people, they have to go to extreme measures in order to even get there. And so it's very different. And that's why these body fat percentage numbers, it's so arbitrary. Not only can we not measure it very accurately, like calories too, but it's sort of this thing that just doesn't really mean a whole lot in and of itself.
No, and focusing on behaviors, I think, focusing mm-hmm. on habits, focusing on structure, focusing on routine, you know, that I think is always much, much more beneficial than just focusing on trying to push for something that might, you know, well, like you say, that we're never really going to be able to measure.
Right.
That might not be right for you anyway. And mm-hmm. you know, whereas habits, behaviors, mindset, lifestyle, we can measure all of those things. You know, they're not easy to measure. They're not easy to change. But you know, a decent coach out there can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and of course, sorry, going back to energy balance then, and of course, you spoke about obviously how we lose fat or lose weight, and how we gain mm-hmm. fat or gain weight, and obviously, of course, the best place to be is a place where you can maintain the weight that is right for you. That is where you are basically, you know, consuming the right amount of calories that you need on a daily basis. One thing I want to point out here as well is that weight's not supposed to be exactly the same 365 days a year, is it? We always fluctuate. You know, people that have got a healthy relationship with food, that are eating to their body's requirements, their weight fluctuates in a range, doesn't it? Not a huge range, but in a, you know, 70 a year, it's normal to fluctuate within that range, isn't it? Like people go, oh, I'll put a few pounds on. I'm like, well, it's actually normal mm-hmm. to put on a few pounds and lose a few pounds over the course of 365 days a year. Yet people freak out about it.
Yeah, it's really true. And that's unfortunate that we have this idea in our head that if we put on 5 pounds, 10 pounds, that's this horrible thing and that we've got to fix it. When in most cases, it's not. Even if you have put on a few pounds and it's maybe more than where your body naturally sits, that's still not necessarily something that needs to be addressed in this sort of, I've got to do something about it. If we just ride it out and just continue going along with our habits, if our weight does accelerate or decelerate for some reason, it's often as a result of some kind of disruption in our life. And once that disruption is resolved, then we often just go naturally back to where we were. And so instead of panicking and trying to do something aggressive about fixing, you know, in quotes, fixing the problem and just resolve the disruption in our life, then often our weight will return back to where it was. And that's something that we need to be aware of also with children, is that not only are they growing, so their weight is going to be fluctuating like crazy, and it should, and that's totally normal, including body fat percentage. But again, these accelerations in weight gain are often as a result of some kind of disruption. And so instead of trying to go on a diet, look at what it was that disrupted this, and maybe you can resolve that. you know, something, if somebody's going through a divorce or a death in the family, or
I want to talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Go on, carry on.
Yeah, but and those things can result in weight gain or weight loss, you know. So and those are, again, it's, you're not going to fix the problem, the stress of going through a divorce or a loss of a loved one by going on a crash diet. You know, deal with that process, go through that grieving process, and just give your body a chance to recover on its own, because it will if you're really tuned in to your body.
Totally. And I think, and the other thing to say as well is that at different stages of your life as well, your body may respond differently, or you may be doing things differently. Because I want to talk a little bit about this as well, because I think for me in the past, when there was stress or trauma, or, you know, I say trauma because there has been quite a few, quite a lot of trauma in my life. And I think in the past for me, that would signify weight loss. You know, I would lose weight. And then when the trauma or the stress had passed, I'd kind of get back to, sorry, I'm trying to just put my necklace straight there. I could just, it was all wonky. So I was going like this and it was going one way. Sorry. And whereas most recently, with everything that's gone on, I mean, I've been quite open and honest, you know, I mean, obviously the fact that I got my divorce today, as you can understand, I've been through quite a stressful period, and I did see my weight increase. Okay, now this is different to what had happened to me in the past, because in the past, obviously, I was struggling. I did have issues. I had an eating disorder, you know, back in my 20s. Whereas now, because I've got a much better relationship with food, I've got a healthy relationship with food. When I went through a really stressful time this year, I saw my weight increase. Mm-hmm. But I knew, I mean, obviously, the whole thing, I'm not going to lie, you know, a few months ago, it's weight up a little bit here, but of course, I rationalize it. So I'm like, okay, so I'm stressed, as you know, to the nines at the moment. And like you just said then there, I know that trying to cut back on things, trying to put myself on a diet isn't going to work. Right. A, because it just isn't going to work. And B, because it's just going to make me feel more stressed. It's going to put more pressure on myself. So of course I just trusted, you know, I just decided, right, what do I need to do? I need to sort my sleep out. I need to, you know, that was a massive thing for me. I needed to make time for myself to de-stress. Stop putting so much pressure on myself. With that, things just kind of, they balance themselves out again. Okay. And, you know, when I say weight, you know, I didn't gain a great deal of weight, just a normal amount for what people do when they're going through a stressful period. But if you're seeing huge increases in weight gain, then of course there is potentially something going on, and you're not dealing with the emotions, you're not dealing with the stresses. Maybe you have got a long diet history, and then when stress comes along, you kind of really do revolt against it all because you haven't got the coping strategies, etc. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is that when you are in tune with your body, when you're listening to your body, it will just get back to where it needs to be. And when you are super stressed and you are, you know, where I was a few months ago, your body is in survival mode. It's in fight or flight mode. So it is going to want those extra calories. It's going to ramp, you know, it's going to try and store some fat to get you through that difficult period, because, you know, as far we've still got our caveman brain. So my caveman brain was like, she's super stressed. We need to store some energy for her so that she can get through this stressful period, you know? And that's as simple as it is, isn't it?
Yeah, really. It really is. And that kind of brings up, you know, one of the other points that we were talking about bringing up was, do you need to track calories? And I think that's, the way you were talking about that, I think that sometimes the response to this kind of thing is that people think, okay, I just need to really set myself a calorie target and really stick to it. And having that boundary there is going to really help me get back to where I want to be. So we add in this restriction, this external rule that's telling us how much to eat. And we think that that is the answer. And so do you think that that's the answer for stopping weight acceleration, is to say, okay, I need to give myself a hard calorie target and that'll help stop things? And if not, why not?
Again, you know, what I don't want to be dogmatic about anything. I don't want to say,
right. Yeah.
and kind of say, well, you know, I don't know. For me, if somebody is, did you lose me there?
No, you're still there. Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit.
I lost connection. If somebody is stressed or, you know, is struggling, is going through a difficult time, then I think counting calories or anything like that can just add more stress. I think someone is just trying to clutch at straws to get some control back, when actually they're going to feel much, much better if they can get back control of their habits and their behaviours. I've had it recently with a client who felt like she was regressing a little bit. She was super stressed about stuff that was going on in her life. And she said, oh, I really just think I need to go back and count calories, Becky. Now, I would never go, no, don't do that. You know, if you think that's what you need to do. She did it for about a week. And then she realized, no, that's just making me worse. I actually need to tackle what's going on here. I'm overeating. I'm binging. And I know that trying to manipulate my calories, trying to manipulate my weight. She had a light bulb moment. She went, I know that's keeping me stuck. I need to change my focus. I need to change what my targets are. I need to think about other things rather than stressing about the scales, the weight, the calories, because that's just making me worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if somebody is super stressed, then just add in, I mean, I'll be quite honest with you, anybody who is super stressed, I would never recommend goes on a restrictive diet at all. It's not going to solve the problem. It really, really isn't going to solve the problem. I think, yes, look at, you know, ways you can improve your nutrition, look at ways that you can improve your movement, but not through restriction.
Yeah, I think it can backfire. It will work for, depending on the person, it can work for a period of time. And some people who have really strong willpower can will themselves through it, through that process and that kind of thing. But your body often fights back. And so even if you have strong willpower, and you're very dedicated to your goal and you're very motivated to get to a particular goal, your body, and everybody's different. Again, we talked about the differences in people. Your body tends to fight back when you're doing things to it that it doesn't like. And when you give yourself a hard, fast rule on how much you're allowing yourself to eat or a certain amount of each macronutrient, if you're tracking your macros, that can backfire because your body, the numbers that you think based on some kind of arbitrary, some rough estimate from a calculator, is not really the best way to determine how much energy your body needs to get through whatever it is that you're dealing with.
That's another really important point though, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Sorry, just while you're saying that, is about, you know, these calorie counters, they take in the metrics, they're taking, you know, your age, your body weight, etc., your activity levels. They're not taking into account your stress levels. They're not taking into account any of that, anxiety, stress, all of these things that most of my clients are dealing with, and all of those things, they have an impact. They have an impact on your calorie needs. They absolutely do. And sometimes as well with stress and things like that, that can blunt people's appetite, which again, you know, when you throw in some calorie counting into the mix or trying to track macros, it can just make it become so, so overwhelming and so just even more difficult to manage and find a path through.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you there. You were saying something.
Oh no, those are great points. And we had one of the listeners said agreed. I think once you're at a high stress level, the first hurdle or hiccup will amplify any perceived failures. Yeah, and that's a good point there. This idea of failure is something that really drives the energy inside of the equation for a lot of people, and even the energy expenditure side of the equation too. You know, when you are, so much of this is tied to our emotions and our mental capacity, and so yes, mechanistically, eating less, eating fewer calories than you're burning, results in weight loss. Whether usually it starts with fat, if assuming your protein is high and you're physically active, you're not going to lose muscle mass. But in general, that's how energy balance works. But there's this psychological component to all of this, and us as human beings, that the calorie counters and the calculators cannot and never can take into account. Because it, like we said earlier, it's not just a matter of changing these variables in a math equation. We're not robots. We're not a car where, oh, I just need to put 10 gallons of gas and that will get me from point A to point B. It doesn't work that way in us as human beings, because there's so many other factors. And then there's the unique genetic blueprint that we each have, where the changes in the calorie intake and expenditure impact these different hormones that send messages throughout the body to tell the body to do various different things. And so when we eat less, in some cases, then different hormones go into play that dial down our energy expenditure in subconscious ways, and vice versa. Sometimes when we eat more, we expend more. And I tend to be one of those people. If I eat more, if I eat higher carbs, I tend to get more nervous, more anxious, more moving. I already am a very fidgety kind of person, and I do it even more the more I eat. Other people, they eat more and their body just stores it. And so it's everybody's so different. And that's why we have to be mindful of how this all works. So yes, mechanistically, energy balance is the way. Calories in, calories out, but it's not quite that simple. And that's one of the reasons why we work with people so much on mindset and their habits and their behaviors, and why we don't necessarily use calorie counting for a lot of people. You know, I have clients who do use calorie counting. It's kind of funny though, they count it. I tend to, you know, they'll share their numbers and I pretty much gloss it over for the most part, because I don't really care what their number is, as long as it's not huge, you know, in one way. You know, if they're eating 4,000 calories, and yeah, there's something we need to talk about. Or if they're eating 800 calories, there's something we need to talk about. But if they're in the ballpark, I just focus on the things that we're working on is from a habit and behavior and mindset standpoint.
Yeah. And this is the other thing is, you know, and obviously weight loss is important to a lot of the clients that we work with.
It is.
And so if they're like celebrating a weight loss and, you know, and I always say, okay, great. But why did we achieve that? What happened? I never celebrate.
That's a hard thing to do, though, isn't it? It's really hard.
Well, my clients,
you want to encourage,
they know me. I'm never going to say, you know, because obviously they want that. But they're I will always get them to think, okay, so that's great. But let's see what it was that got you there. So what were you consistent with this week? Or because the other thing is this bit's like, well, I don't know what, because sometimes that weight loss can not really be weight loss. It could just be dehydration. It could be also as well, managing people's expectations, you know, and conversely then, if there is some increase in weight again, because I think the fact, if I was going every time I lost a pound, you know, I'm going to be literally every time that a pound goes on or whatever, I'm going to be like, just as much as I'm going whoop, I'm going to go, oh,
right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's about let's actually focus on the habits, the behaviors, how you're listening to your body. You're stopping when you're full. You're eating when you're hungry. You've made better choices. You've been more consistent with your exercise. Let's look at those things that are happening, because the weight loss or the weight gain, whatever, you know, is just a symptom of what you are doing, how you're thinking, how you're feeling. Yeah. Right. And it's you can change your behaviors. You can change you can't change your, you know, there's nothing you can do about emotions, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And this is where people get so caught up, because then, you know, because when they're trying to restrict food, when they're trying to follow a diet, automatically emotions are elevated, aren't they? Emotion kicks in, because food is an emotional thing. It is. Not only is it, you know, something that we need to fuel our bodies, it's also something that kind of nourishes us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, socially, etc. So the minute you try to restrict foods, the minute you try to put pressure on yourself, you know, emotions are triggered. And then it's like, oh, wow, how do we deal with this? You know, then people aren't equipped to be able to deal with those emotions and those feelings that come from, like you say, from kind of the feelings of failure, etc., and things like that. And I can't remember where I was going with that. Where was I getting with that? What was my point there about obviously talking about emotions and I can't remember what I was saying there, Jeff. Now I was talking about celebrating.
We were talking about celebrating weight loss and like getting excited because a scale changed.
Yeah,
and you were pointing out that celebrating the other things.
Oh, my point was, I think. Sorry, point, this is what I always do. I think my point was that you cannot, and especially in the short term, anyway. you can't have such an impact. You can't manipulate your weight as you think you can. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't change your weight in the short term, despite what Weight Watchers or Slimming World tell you. You know, you haven't got, yes, you may see some fluctuations in the scale, but the chances are that will be happening because of other stuff that's going on. In the long term, yes, you can, because your behaviors, your habits, your mindset will have an impact. But in the short term, what you can do is you do have control over your thoughts. You do have control over your behaviors. And my point here was that you don't have control over emotions. You don't have control over triggers. Okay. Those will happen. They will come. But what we need to learn to do is to feel those feelings and then actually act in a way that we want to, that is going to drive us towards our goals, rather than acting on every single feeling and emotion that arises.
Right. And that's, you know, that's some of the things that we both work on with clients, is that when they are struggling with something like that, putting a restriction or a limit on the amount of food you eat is usually not helpful. Even if somebody struggles with stress eating, you know, often you think, well, I struggle with stress eating, so if I just give myself a hard target and a boundary of how much I'm allowing myself to eat and just say, nope, I'm done, kitchen's closed. Well, it doesn't, that doesn't address the underlying issue that's making you want to eat more, and wanting, that's driving you to eat out of stress. And so it's much better to say, let's just think about what it is that's driving that stress eating. Yeah. And find out what we need in order to meet that need, and see if there's a way to meet that need that doesn't involve food. And so we're kind of shifting it off of that. And so while that results, if somebody ends up doing that and actually does meet that need that was driving them to stress eat, while that does actually result in eating less, possibly, or not eating too much, we've come at it from a different angle. We've addressed the root issue instead of addressing the symptom, which was eating too much. So the symptom was eating too much, but instead of saying, okay, well, I'm eating too much, I need to eat less, we're saying, well, why are you eating too much? What is it that's driving that? And if there's a problem, then addressing that. And I think that's always the best way to approach things. It's just like in a, you know, I was thinking of this example the other day. You know, some people, let's look at a marriage, for example. So you have a marriage and maybe there is not much physical affection going on in the marriage. So you think, okay, well, we just need to have more sex. It's like, well, no, there's probably something that is a underlying root problem for why there's less sex going on in the marriage. So having more sex doesn't fix the underlying problem. Fix the underlying problem instead. And now it results, the end result may be that then improves. So again, it's kind of the same thing with food. We attack that root problem, and then the issue, the symptom of eating too much or eating too little. I mean, there are people that are not eating enough. That can be resolved by addressing the issue. And we look at that with children, especially too, when there's a huge acceleration in weight gain in a child. Putting them on a diet's not the answer. Yes, they are eating too much. That's the problem. They're eating too much. But the problem isn't that we need to make them eat less. It's that, why are they eating too much? There's something going on, because kids have this amazing regulation system in their body that if it's not disrupted, they'll eat what they need. And so let's look at the root of the problem. And that's where kind of coming back to this discussion of calories, counting calories is a way of dealing with the symptom, but it doesn't address the root. And so that's why it works for a while, but why long-term maintenance is often something we just don't see.
Yeah. And I think the thing is with calorie counting as well, is that, and also as well, I just wanted to point out there that obviously everything that you've spoken about there, and the experiences of people, the emotional attachments, the psychological, you know, aspects of eating, etc. I think these are also why this whole idea of calories in, calories out has been, you know, is grossly oversimplified, isn't it? Because it's not taking into account all of those nuances of eating, you know. And I think at the end of the day, we are, you know, it isn't just a basic, you know, equation. It is when you strip it right back, that is, you know, it is a simple equation. However, when it plays out in practice, it's not that straightforward. It's not that simple. It's not something you can, you know, just kind of have such an impact on it as you think. And I think as well, I was just talking about, obviously there has been some research that's gone into looking at calorie counting and, you know, and the impacts it can have. And there have been some studies that show that calorie counting can trigger disordered eating in people. Right. It can cause mental health issues. But then, you know, on the other flip end of the coin, some people are okay with it. I think for me, you know, if a client wants to count calories, I'm never going to stop them from doing it. When they've got, because I always think to myself, if they've got the support and guidance of me as well, I'm going to be looking at everything else. I'm going to be helping them rationalize it, of course. Calorie counting is never something that I kind of go to with a client because I just don't know what it's going to trigger for that person. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as much as I can have, and I know we both do, as much as we have quite robust screening processes, and we can identify people that maybe are more vulnerable. So someone who does have a history of being on and off diets, someone who does have a history of being very restrictive, someone who does have issues with their body image, then, you know, I definitely would steer clear of calorie counting. Whereas somebody who maybe has got a healthier relationship with food and is just, you know, stress and bad habits, et cetera, have kicked in and they're just wanting to lose a bit of weight or get a structural routine back, then maybe calorie counting might be something that's more appropriate for them. But however, you just don't know when you've got something, you just do not know, you know, what experiences, what precipitating factors are behind any of it. Does that, or what there is there, what is lying there for a person underneath? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So again, it's like with anything, in nutrition, you know, I think it's never yes or no. It's, mm-hmm. It depends. It really, really does depend. Yeah. And I think just with the nature of the work that I do with clients, you know, they do tend to have a lot of, you know, they've been on every other diet under the sun. They've tried every other thing going. And so sometimes a bit of calorie counting can help. Sometimes it can work alongside other stuff. But I just don't think it's ever useful to just say to a client, right, here's your calorie target. Go on and get on with that and come back and let me know how many calories you've had. You know, it's just not my style, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly try and avoid it whenever I can and try and because there's so much more to work on. And when they get and it's so easy to get your mind stuck on the calorie number. I mean, we can explain to them that it's all about the habits and the behaviors, and they may even agree with that. But as soon as you give them that calorie target, then a lot of people, that's where the focus stays. Same with weight. It's like, we say, oh, you know, don't worry about the number on the scale. Let's not get stuck on that. And they'll say, yep, you're right. Whenever I jump on the scale, I feel bad when it goes up or down. And but then there's still this thing that is pulling us in to keep us focused on that. So it's really hard. And so that's why I like to shift it away from the calorie counting whenever I can.
Because everybody wants a quick fix, and everybody mm-hmm. just thinks, oh, well, you know, I eat less calories, I'm going to lose weight, because they just see it as such an oversimplification.
Right.
And, you know, and I think, and you can't blame people for thinking that. If people want to lose weight, they want to lose it now. And they think, the other thing is that people think that when they lose weight, they're suddenly going to be happier. They're suddenly mm-hmm. going to be more successful. They're suddenly going to be better at their job. They're going to be a better parent. It's not true. What I help clients to actually do is start working on all of those things now. And then, you know, the weight loss is probably something that's going to come alongside that, if mm-hmm. it's something that is meant to happen for that client. Now, you know, sometimes weight loss doesn't happen straight away when clients work with me. It can take some time because they have a lot of stuff that they need to work through. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think it's so much easier to think, I'm going to count my calories, I'm going to be controlling, I'm going to just be good, I'm going to just have that willpower, I'm going to have that determination, rather than thinking, it's scary. To be honest, it's scary to think, I've actually got some work to do. I've really got to, you know, I've got to change these habits. I've got to change these behaviors. I've got to change this way of thinking. It can feel overwhelming and scary. But this is the beauty of working with a coach, whether it's one-to-one, whether it's in a group. Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is that they break it down for you so that it's not this overwhelming mountain that you've got to climb. You know, and in fact, I had this conversation this morning with one of my new clients. I've only been working with her for about a month now, I think. And she's almost, she's like, I feel a little bit like I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, you know, because we're breaking it down, we're working on small steps. She says, you know, I know that it never worked for me in the past. And she knows this. She said to me not long ago, she said, the worst thing I ever did, she said, when I'd had my, just after having my first child, the worst thing I ever did was walk through those Weight Watchers doors.
Oh, you know, yeah.
She's now in her 50s. She came, you know, she went to Weight Watchers in her 20s. And she said, and now I've had 30 odd years of gaining more and more. Yes, I've been successful. I've lost 3 stone here, but then I've gained 4 stone back. She said, and the worst thing I ever, because she said to me, she goes, but, you know, I almost knew what I was doing because I was following a plan. I was doing X, Y, Z. And she goes, and now she says it feels a bit strange to be doing things differently. And yes, that is normal. It's absolutely normal. You know, it's normal to feel like a little bit lost. It's normal to feel a little bit like, wow, whoa, this is strange. This is a bit, but that, you know, because we're so used to following a way that's not been developed with us in mind. So that then when you're actually taking a step back and starting to listen to yourself and starting to understand the resistance and starting to understand the emotions, where they're coming from and how you can deal with them, it can feel strange, but it, trust me, the reward at the end of it is just, you can't put a price on it, I guess.
Yeah. And it's exciting to hear people talk about that too, when they finally have come at it from a whole different different angle than they ever have before, when they've been typically going from one diet to another or using a diet that, quote, worked in the past because it got them to a particular number on the scale. But when they are in a whole different mindset, they aren't feeling guilty about food choices, they're not feeling restricted in the way that they're eating. They're not asking for permission to enjoy a night out. You know, is it okay if I have a cheat meal? Can I have an extra cheat meal this week?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of mentality. And it's wonderful when they just eat and live and enjoy things. And when they think about, when they add in exercise because there's something new at the gym, there's a new group class at the gym that sounded fun and exciting, they aren't saying, well, how can I burn more calories? They're thinking, well, you know, I'm feeling really good with all this physical activity. I'd like to, you know, should I add in some other physical activity? And they're not focused on whether it's burning calories, but hey, is this going to help me get stronger? Is this going to help me with this other area of my life to do this with my kids? Yeah. Or I like feeling strong, you know, all kinds of things like that. And it's really cool to see that difference in the way of thinking rather than, oh, I lost 2 pounds this week. Yay. And it's just a whole different way of thinking. And you see a whole different level of excitement and joy in people when their mindset is taken away from that scale number.
Exactly why whenever a client's like, oh, I've lost, I'm like, yeah, great. But what happened? What, you know, what actually went well? How did we achieve that? You know, if they turn around and say, oh, I starved myself all week, I'm like, whoa, you know, or, you know, and, but like you said as well, trying to get people to focus on exactly that, on exactly, because at the end of the day, the reason most people are wanting to lose weight for a much more deeper reason than just actually losing, you know, being a, you know, taking up less space in the world, let's say, you know, but they're usually wanting to do it because they want to feel more confident, they want to be happier, they want to have more energy. So yeah, focusing on those things that are happening along the journey is so important, isn't it? And it's not an instant flip. It's not a and you mentioned there about this week in my group program, one of the ladies was just saying about how nice it was. She said it was bank holiday weekend, it was lovely weather. And she said, and for the first time ever, I felt relaxed. I didn't feel like on Tuesday I had to go back on another diet. I had to beat myself up. I had to restrict. She said, I just had a lovely weekend, didn't freak out, and then knew I could just get back to kind of just being normal. And because this is the other thing, you are supposed to overdo it at times.
Yeah.
During the week, you're rushing around, you know, you're not really socializing, you're working. Then at the weekend, you're supposed to relax and enjoy your life and maybe overdo it a little bit. And then your body will just regulate itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to, when you let your body do it, you know, it will do it for itself. You don't have to. And like you were talking about there, about focusing on movement because it feels good, focusing on food because it feels good. When you're doing all of those things, your body is naturally regulating calorie intake for you.
Yeah.
Your body has been designed to do that. Yeah, your body has been designed to keep you at the weight that is right for you, and that weight is different for everybody else. God damn this culturally thin ideal that's shoved down our necks that gets worse. The more successful you are, the more money you earn, the harder that, the more that kind of gets you. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you're talking about the other day, and this is why a lot of the people, a lot of women that I work with, and men as well, they're working their way up the ladder, they're building their businesses, they're leaders, they're executives. And it's almost like the more successful you get, the thinner you need to be, the better looking you need to be, you know. And it's just, you know, you go into Gucci and their clothes sizes are 10 times smaller than if you went into Topshop, because the more successful you are, the more pressure there is on you to look a certain way. And people just don't fit that mold. So it's about, you know, teaching people just to listen to their bodies, appreciate their bodies, and let them, they will find the balance, they will calculate the calories that you need each day naturally and guide you to, you know, our taste buds. When we listen, when we pay attention, our taste buds do diminish as we eat more of a food, because, and that is our body telling us we've had enough now, thank you. Mm-hmm. But we've become so disengaged with it that we feel that we need to count calories and track our food.
Yeah. And I think that's really one of the downsides of counting calories is that I've counted calories in the past for myself. It worked well for me. It did, but I have to be honest that I did disengage from my hunger cues. Now I would feel hungry, but I would disengage from that because I was still using that external thing to tell me whether I could go ahead and have more, or whether I needed to stop eating, or whether I needed to eat more, even if I didn't feel like it. And so, It's really helpful when we start to tune in, and not even just in the amount of food that we eat, but the kinds of food we eat. I had a client this last week who, a few weeks ago, we were just talking about different things, and she kind of had the idea that dairy might be something that's upsetting her stomach a little bit, just based on, because she had been tuning in more and being very aware of how she was eating and how it made her feel. And so she just kind of experimented with it a little bit, and we were just having the conversation that she is now cut way back on dairy, but not because you're supposed to cut back on dairy, because you shouldn't. There's no reason to cut back on dairy unless it's a problem. And for her, it's not a problem by itself. She's not completely lactose intolerant, but it just upsets her if she eats a significant amount of it. So she's okay if she has a bowl of ice cream one night. That's cool. A glass of milk, no. Milk in the smoothie, no. But that kind of thing, a little cheese on her pasta, that kind of thing is good. But now she's tuned in, so she's cut back on dairy, but not because for restrictive purposes or for dieting purposes, but because she's listened to her body and it said, hey, I do better when I eat a little bit less dairy, so I'm going to cut back on that. And the whole mindset that gives you when you cut back either on calories, because, hey, I'm feeling stuffed. I don't feel good when I eat this much food, when I eat this many calories, or when I eat this much of this particular food. When we cut back because of how we're feeling instead of because of a rule that tells us we should cut back, it's so much different. It's just a whole, it's hard to explain, but when you're having these conversations with people and you're talking about it, it's a whole different mindset. It's just, there's so much more ease, more joy in it. And more relaxed, and there's no guilt around it. And it's just really cool to see that difference.
Oh, it's amazing. The light bulb moments like that are just amazing. Mm-hmm. I've got a client who's similar, actually. She realized that eating too, you know, I think she was having carbs. I can't remember what it was, but basically having processed carbs at breakfast, processed carbs at lunch, didn't agree with her. It made her feel, to begin, when she first came to me, she was trying to restrict it. Like, I can't eat carbs. And then when she did a bit of exploration and you know, listened to her body, she said, actually, you know, it doesn't make me feel good. I struggle with, you know, with it. And so she then decided to make changes based on what her body was telling her, rather than because she felt restricted. And she said it just felt so much more empowering and she felt more relaxed about it. And then the other thing was, same client actually, and she said to me, she always used to struggle because I think she had three boys. Then I did it, I can't cope with two. And and she said that you know, on a Friday night, they'd always get pizza, always order pizza. Mm-hmm. And she was always like, because she was always on a diet, she was like, no, I can't have a pizza. I'm not going to have a pizza. You know, she'd have something else. She goes, but I would always end up, she said, I'd always end up binging on whatever they left over. She said, I just would, yeah, because, you know, and I never really enjoyed it, but I just always did. She said, she goes, do you know what happened last week, Becky? She said, I didn't have the pizza. I didn't order the pizza with the boys. And she said, but for the first time ever, I didn't binge on what was left because I didn't feel deprived. Because the reason I didn't choose to have the pizza was because I actually didn't want it. I didn't fancy it. It wasn't because of my diet. It was, mm-hmm, a choice that I was in charge of. It wasn't something that had been imposed upon me. And then I was okay and I was fine. And I didn't binge on what was left. I chucked it in the bin and didn't have any emotional feeling towards it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly the thing, is that people tend to think that when we see the diet rules, listen to your body, they're going to go, you know, they're just not going to be able to rein it in ever. Now, I'm not going to say that, because some clients will go through a phase where they feel a little bit, you know, but that phase usually passes, and I let the clients go through that. And then, you know, you know, when you listen to your body doesn't feel good if you're eating pizza and cookies and crisps all day.
No, it doesn't. So when
you start making the choices that you've been trying to make for years following a diet. It comes naturally. So you find, I love it when clients are saying to me, well, I'm eating better, but it feels natural. It feels just normal. It doesn't feel pressured. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, honestly, you don't have to tell me not to eat candy at every meal. I know how I'm going to feel if I eat candy at every meal. I feel like garbage. And so you don't have to tell me that. But if you tell me that I can't have candy, then I'm a lot more likely to really feel deprived and kind of think about it more. So it's just amazing how the mind works, and tying it all back into this whole thing about calories. I mean, if you're trying to, you know, if somebody's trying to lose weight, and this is what I talk to clients that are really still stuck on the weight loss idea. And it's like, I know that that's what you want to do, but I got to tell you, if we can get to the root of the problem, yeah, and deal with these underlying issues, you can lose that weight that you're trying to lose in a way where you're not so focused on the weight loss. And often they find that they didn't need to lose as much weight as they thought they did anyway. And they find out that, hey, they level out at another place and they're like, you know what? I thought I needed to be smaller. I'm actually really content right where I'm at. I feel good. I don't have to overthink my food. I don't have to work out 6 days a week, and I'm just enjoying life. And so, so that's.
But if you want to work out 6 days a week, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all.
You know, it's, I definitely go through phases where I love doing that, and then I'll go through phases where I don't. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. Look at it always on a continuum. Yeah, I had a session this morning, and with one, she goes, oh, why is it? I can get really good and I can get into the rhythm, and then I just get out of it. And I'm like, because you are, again, it's this black and white approach. You know, you're not supposed to exercise 5 days a week, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You're going to go through fits and spurts. Just, mm-hmm, you know, just when you come off it for a bit, when you feel like you've got a week or two where you haven't exercised, don't worry about it, because you'll soon get back into it again if you just don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we all do it. You know, there are definitely periods where I'm like on it, like, you know, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling energized, and I'm at the gym, you know, as many times as I can in a week. And then there'll be a period where I just don't go to the gym. And again, I have to be quite honest as well, is that, you know, no matter how much I go to the gym or exercise, it doesn't really have that much of an impact on my weight. Because, you know, my relationship with food is pretty healthy, and I've got a good balance there. And exercise, yes, it probably does help me feel a bit more toned, a bit more energetic when I do it, but it doesn't have that big impact on my weight. And it actually doesn't for most people.
Yeah, for me personally, when I work out more, I just tend to eat a little bit more. I must, because my weight stays very stable, and so I don't really think of it in those terms. But you know, it's like with anything. Some people, exercise itself is one of their big hobbies, and so they never feel like it's a chore. They can go, you know, in many cases, taking their rest day. They hate taking their rest day because it means that they don't get to go to the gym. And it's almost like, you know, they have to force themselves to not do it because they love doing it so much. But it's kind of the same thing for all of us in other areas of our life. You know, I have to sometimes say, okay, I need to stop looking into this area of nutrition. I need to stop talking about this so much. I need to get off of here and quit, you know, do something else. And because for me, it doesn't feel like a chore for us to do this, to do our podcast and to do these lives and that kind of thing. And so again, it comes back to each individual person, how they choose to deal with that. But, it's kind of rambling, getting off topic there, but.
Well, you're not. It's just Lucas just come and said he's going to his mates. And I'm like, no, you're not. Wait there, mate. Lucas school's still finishing at lunchtime. Sorry, because that's why I started to speak to him earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm almost done. You're not going anywhere yet, mate. Wait, we've got to get Leo from school. Anyway. He's just stormed off. There you go. Yeah. That's real life. Yes, anyway, well, we have probably come up to time anyway with that little discussion. Yes. But yes. Is there anything else you wanted to add there? I think we covered most of the things that we said we were going to. Hopefully we did answer. I mean, nobody's asked any questions, but if anybody is watching the replay, if anybody's still watching now, please say hi, bye. If anybody is watching the replay, please do just post your questions. It does alert me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can or say hello and we can answer any of your questions, because no doubt we probably didn't go into something as specifically as we could, because, you know, me and Jeff, we just go off and talk about it.
Yeah, it's hard to do that sometimes. But
I'm just thinking now, did we talk about calories and body and weight? Yeah, we did.
So, just for the record, we both believe in energy balance. That is the way that it affects it, because, you know, some people have completely dismissed it. Often those of us in the intuitive eating circles that really like that approach, sometimes it is easy to not address the fact that this calories in, calories out is a thing. It's the way the body works. Yeah. But I think it's safe to say that both of us were like, okay, yes, that's the mechanism, but counting calories, restricting yourself is probably not the best way to impact that energy balance equation in a way that's going to benefit you in achieving the goals that you have for yourself. So we come at it from a different angle, rather than getting stuck on that calorie number. We go at it in a different way that's going to help you eat the right amount that's appropriate for your body and ultimately impact that energy balance equation, whether it means, you know, impacting the inside or impacting the outside or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I think the reason for that as well is just to say is, you know, kind of we for the psychological reasons that kind of restriction and calorie counting have. And I think just to kind of end on this, you know, like you said earlier, we all know what are, you know, good choices, what are, you know, we all know what a healthy, balanced diet should look like. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. We do, you know, talk of balance and all that kind of stuff, because again, that's been kind of bastardized by the diet industry, hasn't it, about what all that means. Maybe we could talk about that another time. But you know, everybody knows that if you're eating crisps and chocolate at every meal, that's not good for you. Everybody knows that focusing on whole nutrient food is best for you. We all know this. Everybody knows that exercise is good. If it was as simple as applying that knowledge, if knowledge was all we needed, nobody would ever have any of these issues.
Right.
We would also all be multimillionaires, because we'd all follow that business plan to the T. You know, so it's not about knowledge. It's about, you know, it absolutely is about experience. It's about mindset and all of those kind of things. And I think this is why, you know, obviously, like Jeff has said, energy balance is a thing. It is real. You know, our bodies do function in that, you know, that it does have an impact on our bodies and our weight, etc. But there are so many more things. There are so many more things that come to play. And, you know, I think a coach that doesn't take any of those into account maybe isn't going to get you the long term. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anything to add there before
I wrap up? Couldn't agree more.
Cool. Okay. So thank you very much. If anybody's got any suggestions on topics, for next time, I think the next topic that was quite popular was eating for energy. So maybe we can touch on that next week. But otherwise, thank you very much for anyone who was watching. Drop us a message or comment if you've any comments to make. And we'll see you again next week.
Sounds good.
Bye.